And on this edition of St. Teresa's on the Air, we welcome back our pastor, Father Ray, the much beloved and much missed now, Father Ray.
Hey, Steve.
We're doing this particular broadcast. We're recording it as we begin the month of May. So, you know, this past weekend we had the parade of cars in front of the church.
Beep, beep. My neighbor came over saying, "What is going on?" She got in her car because she didn't know, I guess she didn't get the message. And she drove the opposite direction, pulled right up to me and said, "I heard all the beeping and all the yelling." She says, "I wasn't sure what was going on at the church." And so she said, "Oh, isn't that nice?" And it was nice. And
it was a different kind of socialization.
Yeah. It's good. It was good to see the people.
And good for the people to see each other, too. You know, I mean, at the time we are recording this, we're, 6 or 7 weeks into this lockdown thing?
Yeah, you know, I'm losing track. We just talked about it.
The days just kind of fade into each other. But it's been a while since we've all, you know, come together, obviously, in the church. And I think there was probably this pent-up desire to get with fellow parishioners, even though you couldn't really get with fellow parishioners because you're just following each other in the cars, you know. But you should have seen the staging area, if you will. Mm-hmm. You know, we were down at Mary Acres School, just a few blocks away, and as the cars were lining up, people were leaning out of their windows, yelling hello to each other and waving at each other, and it was quite a social event. And so they were excited to see each other, I think the people were, and then excited to see you guys too. So
yeah, there's good things.
So now as we begin the month of May, the last word from the diocese was that we would be, or churches in the diocese would be closed for a public ceremony, probably through May.
Yeah, that's what the message is, and so we continue doing what we've been doing. Nothing major is going to change, unless something major in society changes. You know, there are things that have opened.
Have you gotten your tattoo yet?
No, and you know, it's funny because the governor of Texas was kind of listing what he was going to open slowly. You know, it was restaurants and to less than 50% capacity, and you know, it was now okay in Texas to, you know, rent outdoor sporting activities like golf carts and kayaks and things that you could do. The beaches were going to be open, you know, with the social distancing and all this. And then you got here in Georgia, you know, we're opening things that, like, you know, haircuts where you can't social distance, tattoo parlors, massage, you know, chiropractic. I mean, things, you know, that is just totally opposite. So if you think we're confused in the church, well, you know, I mean, the government's just as confused too. And this is what disease does, you know.
It confuses you.
It confuses you.
You know, the thing about the haircut thing, I called my barber up immediately because, you know, the three hairs on top of my head are growing a bit unruly, and the beard is certainly getting to be unruly. And she said, well, even though the governor said she could open up again, she wasn't going to for a couple weeks at least. She was saying, well, you know, some of the rules that they were going to have to follow, you have to come in, and the clients are supposed to be wearing, well, they're supposed to wear masks. The mm-hmm. clients are supposed to wear masks too. And I said, so exactly how will you give me a beard trim if I'm wearing a mask?
Right.
You know. Of course, now the devil's in the details. The rule actually says clients should wear masks to the extent that the services being provided will allow.
Right.
So you could theoretically, I guess, take it off during the couple minutes you're getting the beard trim.
Just don't sneeze, cough, breathe.
Yeah, none of that
say
stuff.
Anything, nothing.
None of that.
Nothing.
Tattoos allowed, yeah. But and I mean, I guess everything where the restaurants can still, but in Albany, the restaurants are not opening up. They're staying, you know, yeah, curbside delivery and
drive-through,
yeah. But no dining rooms are open that I know of.
Yeah, of course, my favorite coffee shop.
Yeah, how's Dunkin' doing?
Dunkin' is surviving quite well, you know, but I'm surviving because Dunkin' is, you know.
It's surviving, that's surviving. Right. That's
so there's
right.
a free plug for Dunkin'. Of course, Krispy Kreme has been doing the same, so we don't want to leave them out.
No, let's not leave out Krispy Kreme.
If I don't say anything, I'll hear it.
Wait, which one is actually physically closer to your abode? Aren't they about the same distance? I don't know. Krispy Kreme probably.
Well, I don't know. Depends what route you take.
It's probably true. Yeah, so lots of things closed. Obviously, the church is closed. You know, there was a lot when we went into it back in March or April. There was the little fits and starts. Okay, well, we'll leave the church open during the day. Nope, we're not going to leave the church open during the day.
Yeah.
You know, but so we're pretty steady in that. The church is not open. You cannot go in there during the day. Is that right?
Well, let me just theologically correct you. The church is always open.
Oh, because we are the church.
We are the church, yes. Right. You know, and Sunday's drive-through was church.
Yes.
You know, now the church building is closed.
Gotcha.
You know, and that's an important clarification for us. You know, we talk about the church, and most often we talk about the building, you know, the edifice. But this coronavirus has really, you know, made us look more deeply into the domestic church. You know, church is family. It's one of the things that I said when they interviewed me, which, by the way, I hate being interviewed.
Oh, you did a good job on Channel 10.
But thank you. That doesn't mean I like it.
Yeah, I understand.
But, you know, the growth in faith of the families has been tremendous. It really, our family faith formation program that we've been doing for, what, 3 years, 4 years now, it continues. The coronavirus hasn't affected that at all. You know, we still have the materials that are been given out to the families and the parents who are the first and foremost teachers of the faith to their children are doing what they've been doing. It doesn't matter that there's a virus that prevents people from coming to the edifice, to the building, right? You know, they're hopefully, I say, doing what they're doing. You know, and just like the school building is closed, school still goes on. You know, our teachers here at St. Teresa's are working really hard at coming up with creative ways to Zoom and to video chat and to do all that Facebook stuff with the kids, with the parents, through emails and phone calls and letters and all kinds of things to try to work best with the situation that we have. Yeah, it's not the ideal situation. Of course, we all realize that. But we're trying to be a step ahead of everybody else, you know. And I want to, you know, thank the teachers and the administration for all the excellent work that they're doing, the extra work that they're doing to finish out the school year. I'm sure parents would rather have their children sitting you know, at least for 8 hours in a school building while they can do whatever parents do, whether it's work or shop or just, you know, Calgon, take me away while the house is empty and haven't been able to do that. You know, we're hoping that things will settle down and get back to some sense of normalcy, which we don't know what that's going to be. You know, there's a lot of different ideas and thoughts, and even when we talk about returning to worship and how that's going to play out, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, well, let's go there for a minute. Let's visit that. I am guessing, and because it's all, I mean, this is, as they say, uncharted territory. because we've never really done anything like this before. But I'm guessing when we do finally open the doors to get back into the church building, social distancing will still need to be happening. I love, I don't know if you've gone to Publix lately, but you know, you enter Publix and you know they have one-way aisles now. It's like driving in New York City.
You have doesn't to it just drive you nuts when they drive down the wrong way?
It really does.
I just want to scream to people, like, people, come on, let's all get on the same page here.
It's not don't that go difficult. Down the aisle,
walk around.
It's not that difficult. Yeah. But you know, so different places are accommodating in different ways. Obviously, little circles on the ground where to stand. You know, you can now move up to the next circle.
That's right. You know, one of the things that kind of gets me about a lot of this, first of all, how restaurants and hotels and businesses, you know, they've been sending out all these emails about, you know, how we've stepped up, you know, our cleaning, you know, and I'm thinking like,
what was it like before?
Like, I've been going to that hotel or I go to that restaurant and, you know, you really weren't cleaning that much.
That is a little frightening, right?
You know, I mean, I want to go to a place that would have to say, you know, we're sorry, we're closed, but it's nothing we did. You know, our standards haven't changed because we've always had, you know, that A1 cleanliness in mind. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting.
So, how, I mean, obviously, this is just sort of like brainstorming and talking out loud because I'm sure nobody's really sat down and formulated the big plan just yet. But how would we go about that? Would we make people sit certain space apart in the pews? How would that go?
Yeah, I'm sure that we'll have direction from the diocese as to what they suggest is the best.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, each church is, you know, different in size and numbers. I mean, I've been to some parishes and churches that I've covered for, and even places that I've pastored before, where every single spot and then some is filled with some of the community. And so, in those places, I'm sure that those priests may have to add extra masses,
right,
to space out people. I don't know. I mean, this is the great mystery. You know, we have a good-sized church, and, you know, if we have to add extra masses just to space out people, then, you know, we do what we have to do.
Sure.
Because I know there's a definite longing for the Eucharist. There's a definite longing to be back in church. There's just the nature of the beast to be in community, you know. Online, social media, you know, those are all good, but they don't fulfill the, you know, person-to-person desire that we humans have. So how this is going to pan out will probably be slowly reversed to what we did. You know, the sign of peace was stopped, people touching each other, and then we stopped and asked people not to receive communion on the tongue. And so those, you know, going back to those two things may be a long time from now, you know, and people, I hope they understand that, you know, I feel bad for those people the weekend when we ask people not to receive on the tongue, you know, for those people who, wanted to just refuse to receive communion because they couldn't receive it their way. It's sat in their pew, and then
we had people do that.
We did.
Oh,
and you know, and to me, you know, I'm not judging their spirituality, but the reality is that was the last chance they had to receive communion. And you know, and obviously, that's between them and God, you know. But to me, it's the spirituality and how God is going to make good out of this, and maybe that's one thing that we come to a deeper appreciation for the blessings in our life and how they come to us and not how we want them to come to us. You know?
Now, that's a deep thought, Father. Yeah. No, but I mean, it's very true. You know, there's an old saying, you don't know what you have until you lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't lost this. It's been temporarily taken away from us, the ability to receive the sacraments in person and things like that. And I do think it has created an appreciation for them. I mean, it certainly has for me. Yeah. And, you know, people that I've talked to, it's the same way. They're like, man, I just want to go back and do this now.
Right. Yeah. You know, I mean, the ultimate goal, you know, whenever we have crises that affect the nation or families, you know, something big like this, or the last thing that I'm thinking of is the 9/11. You know, for a month, 2 months after, when things settle down and we realize the horrible terrorism that hit us, churches were full. People were day in and day out, just going and being in churches, not just Catholic churches, but churches in general, churches and mosques and synagogues. People were going because there was this great fear of terrorism, and now all of a sudden there was this great need for God, and it was wonderful, you know. But it was unfortunate that something like that had to get people to do that.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm looking at when the doors of the church are opened with the social guidelines and social distancing guidelines and all that. When all of this comes back, you know, I think we're going to probably have a great influx of people into all of our churches. And that's wonderful until we get comfortable. You know, people hunger for the Eucharist, and I say to them, you realize that you could receive Jesus every single day. You know, I mean, you had the opportunity to.
Sure.
Because there was Mass every
daily
single
mass, right.
day.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you chose not to. And now that you can't, you want to get on my case about it. No. Right? And that's why I'm hoping that, you know, one of the growth, the spiritual growth that comes out of this is a recognizing, a realization that of what is most important in our lives, and that the things of this world do not last, and that something's going to get all of us, whether it's a virus or heart attack or stroke or whatever it is, something's going to get us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we are all going to die. You know, I say that every now and then at some funerals. You know, if I were a betting man, and those of you that know me, I am, but I would bet 100 everything I have that 100% of us are going to die.
I think it's a safe bet.
It's a safe bet.
Yeah.
You know, someone says there's only two things, right? Death and taxes. Well, taxes you can get away with. Some people do.
Mm-hmm.
And they drop dead, and it's not their problem. They've never paid tax, and yada, yada, yada. As my Jewish friends say, and so, but the reality is that, you know, what are those things in this situation? How are they going to help us to grow in our faith, right? And how is God going to motivate us here and now to make life decisions to help us get to eternal life, right? You know, what are those things that we're doing? Like, how's our prayer life? Is it growing? You know, or have we given up on God? And if you're giving up on God, chances are you're not listening to this right now. So you who are listening, okay, great. So ask yourself, how's my prayer life? I got all this extra time, you know. Am I praying alone or am I praying with my family? You know, what am I listening to? What am I looking at? What are the websites that I'm going to? You know, am I going to the super conservative? Am I only looking at one point of view? You know, and what ways can I kind of grow in this time of separation? And for many, this time of solitude, because there's a lot of people who are stuck alone. They live alone, and just them and their cats and their fish and their dogs are.
I know people like that.
You know, and so it's you know, we can look at this as, oh, I can't believe the bishop said another month without, you know. All right, so what are we going to do with that, right? Yeah, there's always two sides to the coin.
Sure.
And so what do you
do? And, you know, well, you know, the I guess the good way to look at that is, you know, I remember reading the letter, and it talked about, now you obviously do not fall into this category, because, you know, you're still, I mean, you're younger than I am, as you like to point out from time to time. Mm-hmm. But it was saying that many of the clergy are of a certain age, where the, you know, the, yeah, COVID-19 is very dangerous to them.
Or health.
They're healthy.
Or have health or issues. Health,
sure. So, you know, this sort of continuing the closing is an act of love on our part, really, to protect those who, you know, are spiritual leaders, if you will.
Yeah, and the other thing is that, you know, we as spiritual leaders, you know, are still doing what we were ordained to do, and primarily it's to say the Mass, you know. And that's what we're doing. I mean, every single day, you know, and since this virus has hit, you know, except for 2 days, I have been able to say the Mass every single day. I haven't missed a day, whether I was scheduled or not, you know. It's just something that I've chosen to do because I know my parishioners need their prayers before the physical presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, and that's the best time to do it, you know. And so and Father Chris has been saying the Mass, so the work of the priest has not ended, you know. It's just in a sense changed. I did tell Deacon Jay the other, not too long ago, maybe a couple days ago, he was asking how I was doing, and I said, you know, I'm kind of liking saying Mass alone. And he replied very quickly, don't get used to it. We'll be back. And so.
Yes, we will.
So, but, you know, as awkward and as strange as it can be, or as it may have been in the past, to say Mass alone, I, you know, my own personal spirituality and importance of the power of the Mass and the Eucharist for the prayer of the people and for the Mass intentions has really grown. And to me, that's one of the huge positives that I've found that has come out of the coronavirus, believe it or not.
Yeah.
So, because, you know, there are always people that, you know, will set you off in a wrong direction right before Mass. You know, when I was a seminarian, I was at a church, and I said to the pastor, I said, Father, why is it you wait in the rectory till about 3 minutes before Mass starts, before coming over to walk in the church, go to the sacristy, get vested, and then come out and say Mass? And I remember him saying to me, well, if you ever get ordained, you'll find out.
Have you found out?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you know, because I always thought, wow, you know, it's really nice to, I thought it would be, you know, great to, prior to the Mass, to greet the people as they're coming in. And, you know, in 99.999% of the time it is. But there's that one person that'll come in and and just throw you off, you know, and right before you're getting ready to say Mass.
Wow, why is the door painted this color?
It could be a plethora of things. And you know, unfortunately, you know, I mean, that's, and that's what he was talking about, you know, you know, that never happens here at St. Teresa's, though. You know,
no.
I mean, it's just, you know, things from the past.
Of course. Well, listen, since we've got about 2.5 minutes left, May is the month of Mary. How about a quick Father Ray word about Mary?
Yeah, she's Jesus's mom.
Yes.
And she's very dear and very special to us all. The mother of priests. And
how did May become the month of Mary in the church?
Probably because it started with M.
Or because Mother's Day is in the month of May.
I'm sure that has a lot to do with it.
I mean, you know, because you got the May crowning and all that kind of stuff. It's a very big month for Mary in the church.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And
but we don't have any of her days in May, though.
I mean, not any of her feast days, and that's good. I mean, you don't want to, you know, jam it all in at once, because, you know, sort of like my birthday in January, early January. You know, growing up, I always got at Christmas. Now, this is for your birthday and Christmas,
right?
Because
right.
It's a little bigger. So we're blessed throughout the year. You know, and every first Saturday, of course, is dedicated to our Blessed Mother.
Sure.
And so there's 12 mini feast days right there. You know, and there are so many titles and feast days of Mary. She's that important to us. You know. And why? What makes her that important? Because she said yes. You know, she said yes to the divine will of God, and God is asking all of us throughout this this pandemic, not to give up on Him, and to just trust Him, as we find in the divine mercy, Jesus, I trust in you, as Jesus told Saint Faustina, and that trust comes from the example that Mary. Gives for us to trust in her son that everything's going to be okay.
And it will be. And we trust in that. Father Ray, thanks for coming on, as always.
You're welcome, Steve.
We know you don't like to be interviewed, but you do it so well.
Yeah.
That's the ticket. And hopefully we'll get to see you again in the big building before long.
There you go. God bless you all.